Really excited about this series because, well, it's January, so you know January is all about new goals and change, a new you. And then February comes, and that's a month of regret and shame that nothing changed and you failed miserably. But you're gonna do it all over again next year, amen? That's gonna happen next year. How many of you have reached that point that you're saying, Pastor, I don't think I waited for February. I already have some shame. I messed up. My goals, they're not happening 2018. But 2019, everyone, right? 2019? No? All right, well, we're in this series called Stop. Everyone just say it with me. Stop. Stop. Tell your neighbor, just stop. Stop. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are good with stop signs? How many of you are not so good with stop signs? Not so good. Some of you are slick. You know, how many of you do the 1-2 approach that you're still driving, but you can see both ways? You kind of go through it, right? The slow. Anyone like roll by, just slow those people, right? How many of you just stick your nose out a little too much? Yeah? Well, you know that when it comes to stop signs, they're everywhere. No matter how much of a hurry you may be in, no matter what plans you have that day, when you see that sign that says stop, you stop. And it was placed there by a higher authority. That's the state of Florida. And if you choose to obey that sign, it will bless you. And it will keep you from a ticket. But if you in your selfishness just says, well, I don't care about stopping. I'm just going to do what I want. And you get away with it sometimes. What if you don't? And if you don't stop, not only can it hurt you, but it can hurt someone else. This whole series is about sin. But see, sin doesn't just only hurt you. It hurts those around you that love you and care about you. And if you refuse to stop because you know that every area in the Bible where God says stop, that stop is put there as an authority. God and His Word, like that stop sign, is an authority that we listen to. And it's there because God wants to bless you. God is not saying to stop because He wants you to stop having fun. He doesn't want you to just stop because, hey, I want you to stop having joy. I want you to stop having good time in your life. No, God wants to bless you. God wants you to enjoy your life. So for that reason, He actually puts areas in the Bible where He simply says, stop. And if you want to see change, how many of you want to see change in your life? Come on, show me your hands. All right. If you want to see change in your life, spiritually and physically and emotionally, you know, the thing is that there's certain things you need to stop doing. We tend to think that change happens when I start doing something. Sometimes God says, no, change happens when you stop doing certain things. So can we be honest enough to say that we need this teaching series? There's just things in our lives that we're tired of, and I think God is telling you this morning, brace yourself, because the next few weeks are not going to be easy. But listen, it's just as hard for me to preach it. But I promise you, it's going to bless your life. If you're a first-time guest, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It's going to bless your life. Let's pray. Father, bless this series. Lord, help me to preach it, to learn it for the next few weeks, Lord. Let us just take this as your word, applicable to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from John chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now in Jerusalem, near the Sheep's Gate of the Pool, in Aramaic it's called, in Bethesda, so I'm going to explain what that is. So Jesus goes to this place called Bethesda, and as he's there, I want you to notice, verse 3, here in Bethesda, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. So Bethesda was all a place of pain and sadness and loneliness. It's where everyone went to when they were crippled. Everyone went to when they were sick. Everyone went to when they were blind. It is a place where everyone went to when there was no hope and they needed something and they just went there to hope and that someone would just reach out to them and bless them. So Jesus was here. And notice, one, verse 5, one who was there for 38 years. So for 38 years, this man was just there, crippled. In verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, can we all just say, long time? Like you're happy to be in church? Long time, like having long time. So Jesus learns something about this guy and he says, he's been sick how long? Well, that's a long time. Long time. And he comes up to him, verse 5, and he says, do you want to get well? Sir, he replied, I have no one to help me into the pool. Wish I had a violin right now. I have no one to help me in the pool when the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. He walked. In verse 14, I'm going to jump there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and he said to him, see, you are well again. Stop, there it is. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Oof, Jesus. Kind of harsh, don't you think? The guy just got saved. And you come up to him and say, stop sinning. How many of you want change in your life? It's funny that Jesus comes up to him and says, do you want to get well? Honestly, when I read that, I said to myself, and Jesus, I said, Lord, doesn't that seem like a silly question? Of course he wants to get well. Come on. Of course he wants to get well. But Jesus, he comes up to him and says, do you want to get well? In other words, Jesus was saying, do you want to change in your life? Jesus was saying, are you tired of being in the same place for 38 long years? Do you want change? And I wonder this morning, how many of you are being asked that very question by God today? I wonder if God is looking at you through this message and He's asking you right now, are you tired of where you're at? Do you want to see a difference? Do you want to see change? Do you want to do the impossible? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want it? We all want change and we all need change in some area in our lives. There is no one in this church, me included, or anyone listening online right now, that says, I don't think I need change. But I can tell you who does. We all need change. We can all afford some change, and we all can change. How many of you are on a diet right now? Put your hand. I saw you eating yesterday. You're not on a diet. How many are on a diet right now? How many of you started January on a diet? How many of you, that went out the window, right? Last weekend, anniversary lunch, out the window. Some of you, I said, hey, you're going to go to the party, you're going to enjoy the food. And you're like, I'm on a diet. Yeah, right, I saw you. I even went up to some of you, like, hey, is that low carb? That pastelito there, is that low carb? And you're like, don't judge me. You see, all of us, we start diets because we want to change. It's not because we like salad. We don't start diets because we want to eat like rabbits. We start diets because we're not happy with how we look. And we want to change it, so we know that we need to start dieting. So we start to go to the gym and we start to eat healthier. We start to eat this green and that vegetable and whatever. And diets are the worst. You know, when you first started, you're like, this is awesome. And a week later, this is terrible. Did you ever notice the word diet has the word die in it? Ever pick that up? Because that's what diets do. They kill you. When you're on a diet, you are dying to it. You are dying. You're putting to death old ways of eating, old ways of nutrition, old ways of habits that you know contributed to your little love handles. You know, all those things. There are things you die to. That's why diets, they have to have the word die. Because it's what you do. You kill carbs. You kill sugar. You kill processed food. You kill it. But some of you are like Jesus. You just keep resurrecting things. It just never dies. So we kill. That's why it's a diet. And that's what God says about spiritual growth. Because here's the thing about dieting. I can start doing the right things, but if I don't stop doing the wrong things, it never makes a difference. So I can start a gym, I can start eating salad, I can start walking, but if I don't stop eating cupcakes, if I don't stop eating late at night, if I don't stop eating that bread in the lobby of church, if I don't stop, it doesn't matter what I start, because if I don't stop certain things, I'm not going to see the change. And this is what happens in church. People say, I want to change. I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to change my attitude. I want to change this sin in my life. I want to change my marriage. I want to change. Oh, Lord, change me. And that's a great prayer. So what do? I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to start worshiping along with Frankie. I'm going to start this ministry. I'm going to start serving. I'm going to sign up for that hospitality ministry. I'm going to start. And that's great that you start all of that. But what if you don't stop? Your bad attitude. What if you don't stop your fornicating? What if you don't stop your lying? What if you don't stop your cheating? What if you don't stop your gossip? If you don't stop your slander, but you started a good thing. And then we sit here stuck and we say, it's not working. It's not working. I read my Bible. I go to Wednesday night Bible study. I help Maria out. I do, and I started doing this, and I started doing this. And the real question is not, what have you started? But the real question for this series is, what have you stopped doing? To see what you have started produce fruits. It's great that you're in church this morning, but if you don't stop sins in your life, none of this is beneficial to you right now. Zero. At all. That's why in Colossians 3, Paul is writing to this church. It's a church that's not growing. It's a church that's struggling. It's a church that they're going to church. They're reading the scriptures. They're worshiping. They're fellowshipping. They're doing everything that you're doing, but they're stuck. You ever felt stuck? Notice what Paul says to this church. He says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you what? You died. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear in glory. Notice, so here's a command. Put to what? Death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your sinful nature. See, because these people were in church, but there were some things that never died. Put to death! And he hears a list. He says, your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and this is a church. Ooh, scandalous. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. Notice the warning here. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. That's serious. And here's a reminder. It says, you used to walk in that way. Everyone remember that walk? Some of you are like, I don't want to remember it. But the key word is used to. You used to walk in those ways in which you once lived. Notice you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things. And then there's another list as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. You know what Paul was saying here? Yeah, it's great that you're in church. It's great that you're reading the scriptures. It's great that you're fellowshipping and worshiping. You're off to a great start. But the reason you're stuck is because you have not stopped sinning. And you have not died to certain sins that you once had. That thing is still creeping along in your life right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It just won't die, Pastor. It won't die. I love what verse 8 says here. It says, now. Can we not say that now? You know what Paul says here? Now. Because some of you, I know you're going to be sitting there, and you're going to be like listening to this message, and like, yeah, man, this is good. It's a little hard. But you know, I think I might do this later. I might do this when I'm ready. I might do this once I get comfortable with the church. I might. What does Paul say? Now. Now. Well, I'll change once they change. Paul says, now. Not later. Not what people tell me. Let me get it out of my system first. I mean, I'm a work in progress. Let me just take my time with this. I just started. And God says, rid now. That means that you have about 20 minutes after this message is over to tell God it ends now. It ends now. I love it because it says, now. You must rid. I love it because it says yourself. Because a lot of us get so caught up in other people's sin, don't we? That's my job. I'm a pastor, but that's not yours. So we get caught up in other people's sin and what they're doing wrong and how they need to change. And you're looking at people, I can't believe they're struggling with that. I can't believe they're doing that. They should know better. And love it because Paul says, rid yourself. Because some of you know, I need to get rid of my husband. I need to get rid of this. That person needs to get rid of that. That's why Jesus says, hey, worry about the plank in your eye and not the speck in your brother's. Jesus said, you got way bigger issues than that person you're criticizing right now. So he says, now, and he says, yourself. If you put all the energy you do into other people's sin examination, and to yourself, you might actually change. Now, can we all say it? Now, yourself. So turn to your neighbor and say, mind your own sin. This is between God and Pastor David. I'm your pastor. Tell me your sin. I'm here to help you. I won't preach on you, I promise. I love it because the Bible says, now, the Bible says, yourself. So when is the time to change? Now. Who is it that needs to change? You. Give God praise. He made it so easy. He made it so easy to say because a lot of us were just so busy looking at other people's sin and God says, no, look at yours. And do it now. The question is, guys, it's not, what do I need to start doing to change? It's, Lord, what do I need to stop doing to change? Because you, by being here right now in this church, listening to this message, you're off to a great start. We really are. But that's not what's most important. Because you can start all these great godly things, but if you don't put a stop to certain things, what you start never takes root and grow fruit. Does that make sense? It's simple. You're like, yeah, right. There's a gym, since we're on this diet thing. We're dying, right? There's a gym, I can't mention their name. But there's a gym that I used to be a member of. I was kindly asked to leave. You're a pastor, man, I'm telling you. I'll explain why, because some of you are going to be starting gossip now. I heard he killed somebody. There's a gym that I believe that if the devil had a membership to any gym, it'd be this one. It'd be this gym. And this gym thrives on not judging you. Okay? And they judge you the most. So when I'm working out, I'm a grunter. I'm a grunter. Even if it's 2 pounds. I make it look like 100. So I'm like a... That's me. I admit it. This gym doesn't allow that. No grunting. Okay. One day I got a warning for over grunting. I did. I got a warning for too much grunting, you know? So they gave me one strike. They're like, one. And the second strike, you know, this gym says no tank tops. I got nice arms, you know. I want to show them. I'm there doing my thing. I'm not grunting as loud. I'm like, real nice little grunts, little slow grunts. Then the same girl comes and says, it's two. And she hands me a t-shirt. I'm like, what'd I win? She goes, no, we don't allow tank tops. Because It makes other people feel bad. I was like, ooh. You mean now my body's making people feel bad? Yeah, that's progress. And I got a warning. A second one. And the third time, I mean, it got out of hand. But they said I couldn't bring a water bottle. Well, I didn't bring a water. I bring a gallon. You know, I'm that guy. And she's like, that's it. I'm going to. And she comes up to me. She says, I don't think this. You can't do this anymore. You're grunting. You're wearing tank tops. You have an excessive amount of water. And it makes the people uncomfortable. And then she gives me a chance. So I'm all dressed up, fully covered, little tiny little water. I'm obeying the rules. And she comes up. I'm working out, doing a good job, you know, behaving. She comes up and she says, here, have a Tootsie Roll. So I'm sitting down and I'm like, a Tootsie, what? And she's like, Tootsie Roll. Take one. And I told her, and I said, no, I'm working out right now. I don't need Tootsie Rolls. She said, no, it's just one. Just have one. And then I explained, I said, what kind of gym is this? She goes, no, we also have pizza on Fridays. And bagel Tuesdays. And I was like, where am I? And I was like, why is that? She goes, no, because, you know, I know you can see it on our website. We believe that you deserve this. And we do it so that people know that you can still be active and have your sweets. And I looked around and I said, true story, I said, is that why everyone's fat? And she looked at me, she goes, I don't think this gym's for you. I don't think this is the right place for you. So I go with the grunters now. I'm going to go somewhere else where I can be myself. But it's amazing. Because she says, you should take one. And here's her logic. If you don't take one, other people are going to feel bad about taking one. So just do it. I'm like, no, do it. Take the Tootsie Roll! No! Man, that's church today, isn't it? We have a church today that's saying, let's lower the standard of sin so that everyone can have Tootsie Rolls. No, as long as you're active. Are you active in church? Yes. Are you active in a Bible study? Yes. Are you active in a ministry? Yes. Are you actively reading the Word of God? Are you actively praying? Yes. Oh, here, have your little sin. Have a little Tootsie Roll. You deserve it. And if you don't do it, is it because you think you're better than everyone else? That doesn't? If I tell you not to have a Tootsie Roll, you say, stop judging me. Show me your Tootsie Rolls. How many of you ate it already? No control. No control. I want you to look at it. And think about that little thing you do and you keep doing it because you like it and you think it's not a big deal because you're doing other good things. How many of you have a little spiritual Tootsie Roll? How many of you come to church with a little Tootsie Roll? How many of you are going to leave church today with your Tootsie Roll at home? Come on, give me a shout if you have a Tootsie Roll in your life. Come on. No? Come on. Come on. Let's be real. And the devil just comes up to you and says, here. No, that's cool. You went to church this Sunday. Come on. You prayed. Come on. You're doing good. You're such a good Christian. You deserve this. And we have these little Tootsie Rolls that we convince ourselves, as long as I stay active, doing the right things, I can indulge in a little bad things. See, that mentality has carried on into our churches. Have your little Tootsie Roll. And it's okay. Some of you have a candy shop. You're just like... You're like, Pastor, I have Tootsie Rolls, I have Hershey's, I have Twix, I have... You don't know what I have. Amen? Right? Bro, what's wrong with us? So like, man, you're doing the right thing. You're in church today. Give yourself a round of applause. Yeah, you're like, yeah, I'm in church. Where's your Tootsie Roll at? She's back in the office. Tootsie Roll still on my contacts. I might see Tootsie Roll tonight. I might log in to Tootsie Roll today. You guys get it? This is not that type of church, by the way. But don't ever take it as judgment. The day I discredit you as a person is the day you can say I'm judging you. I discredit your sin, never you. You're always welcome here. You always will be loved here. But don't ever come to me with your Tootsie Roll and expect me to have it too. Just say, hey, be okay with it. Because that's what's happening today. Jesus just, he asked this question. Do you want to get well? You know, I wonder why Jesus asked this question. Why did Jesus say, do you want to get well? I don't understand. And you know what I understood by this? Jesus was telling us, not everyone with problems wants to change. Not everyone that has problems want to change. Just because you see someone struggling doesn't mean they want to change. I see this every week as a pastor. They're there telling you how hard their life is, how bad their marriage is, how bad their health are, how everything is just miserable, and they never change. Why? Because they don't want to. They just want to tell you how bad it is. So by Jesus saying, do you want to get well? He's telling us just because you see a person sick or broken, don't always assume that person wants to change. How many people in your life do you know like this? How many people in your life you know are living miserable and broken and defeated lives, but deep down inside, after many chances and then after many attempts, you come to the realization that they just don't want to change. You need to let that person go. This man was 38 years in this bondage, hopeless. And you notice when Jesus asked them, do you want to get well? Did you ever notice in this story, this man actually said yes? He never told Jesus, yeah, I do. You know what this man says? I can't. I wonder how many of you this morning think like this man. I can't stop this sin. I can't stop this lust. I can't stop this behavior. I can't stop this lifestyle. I can't stop. And he never said yes. You know what he did say though? I have no one to help me. They keep cutting me off. I've tried. We need to stop our excuses. When God asks you, do you want to change? The answer is yes. But the devil says, I can't. This man had so many excuses. You know what this man was? A victim. How many victims do I have here today? You know what victims are? Complainers and blamers. You only complain about how bad it is. You never do anything about it. You complain and complain and you complain. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going through this. I hate this. And I'm going through this. And Pastor, and life is so hard. And I hate my job. And my marriage is struggling. And these kids are wild. Pastor, I think they're possessed. Lord, I can't need help. And you're just complaining. But you never do anything about it. You're complainers or you're a blamer. You're just saying, oh, I want to change, but I can't because this person did this to me and because that person did that to me and I can't change as long as they're in my life and because of them, I'm the way I am. I was raised this way. I'm a product of my parents. I'm a product of my environment. I never had a break as a child. I had a rough childhood and because of everything you're blaming, you're stuck in your sin. And maybe you have that victim mentality. But in verse 14, Jesus looks at him and says, you better stop sinning. You know what Jesus said here? You're so busy complaining and blaming, you haven't even realized you're at where you're at because of your own choices and sin. Stop sinning. He doesn't mean be perfect. He was talking about a general sin that this man was doing. We don't know what it is. But he tells this man, stop. Take responsibility that you are where you're at today because of your own sin and choices. And stop putting the blame on other people and complaining about other things. Can I tell you something, though, in your defense? I'll defend you this time. We can't tell a person, stop being a victim. I hate when people say that. Because the truth is, some of you have been a victim. Maybe all of us have been a victim. At some point in your life, maybe you're a victim of neglect. Maybe you've been a victim of abuse, physically, emotionally, sexually. Maybe you've been a victim of bad parenting, bad childhood. You've been a victim of health problems. Some of you may have been a victim of a bad church that hurts you. I see that a lot. And you've been a victim of injustice. You're a victim of bad relationships. They hurt you. So I can't tell you, I have no right as your pastor to say, don't be a victim. Because it happened. Amen? But here's what I can tell you. It's not stop being a victim. What I'm going to tell you is don't stay a victim. Don't stay a victim. Because I wonder how many things in your life you can't get over. You still talk about him. You still think about them. You can't get over what you did. You can't get over your past. So it carries out into your present and it affects your future because it's not that you can't not be a victim, it's that you need to stop staying a victim. Stop talking like one. Stop thinking like one. Stop living like one. Don't stay a victim. This man stayed a victim and never saw change. Adam and Eve never saw change when they first committed sin. Why? She did it. Then she's up to bat and she says, the devil did it. You know, Adam actually blamed God, not Eve. He says, the woman you gave me.
You messed up, God!
This whole matchmaking thing, I don't think is your thing. You're awesome at creating the universe and the heavens and the earth. But when it comes to matchmaking, I don't know if you understand what you're doing because look what you gave me. And now one of them said, I was wrong. I take responsibility. It was me. I wonder how many of us are like this man that God says, do you want to change? And all you seem to say is, I can't because I still have this problem, that person, this, this. And all you do is you're filled with excuses. It's no wonder this man stayed stuck. And he stayed stuck because he stayed a victim. But Jesus tells him, it's okay, Babo. Come on, it's okay. It's okay. They did what? You poor thing. Jesus was so blunt. I love it. He looks at him, he says, get up! Get up! I wonder if God right now is telling our church, get up! I'm tired of you staying like this. Get up! And says, take your mat. You get out of here. Okay. Wow! What happened? And I'll tell you what happened. Jesus looks at this man and says, get up. Sometimes you just want to stay down in your pity. You want to stay down in your discouragement. You want to stay down as a victim. But victims never change. And maybe it was true what this man said. It was true. They did cut him off. No one reached out to him. But right now God is saying, I'm reaching out to you. So stop thinking about who didn't help you, what wasn't fair, because I'm here right now and I'm asking you, do you want to change? And get up. I love that Jesus said, take your mat and go. You know, the mat was bedding. The mat was that bed that they've set aside for them to be comfortable in, that place where they would beg. So this man literally made a bed in Bethesda, a place of pain and loneliness and hopelessness. And here's what the Lord showed me through this. If you're not careful, you can get comfortable in an area in your life that God wants you to get out of. It's so amazing because you get comfortable with sin. You get comfortable with immorality. You get comfortable where you know you're not supposed to be doing. And you can begin to say, oh, but you know, it's not so bad because it's a tootsie roll. Just a little bit. Just comfortable. Just have a little bit. What sin have you gotten comfortable with? Have you settled? And gotten comfortable in areas where God wants you out? Have you gotten comfortable with sin? Have you gotten comfortable with certain attitudes, behavior, that you just kindly convinced yourself that it's a tootsie roll? It's just how I am. I'm an angry person. Tootsie roll. It's just how I am. I'm a guy, Pastor. I'm a man, Pastor. I got to look. Tootsie roll. What area in your life have you gotten comfortable with? You know, I ask myself, how do people get comfortable? Because if you want to change, you can't get comfortable. If you want to change, it's going to take a lot of effort. And it's simple because this man, he said something profound. Verse 7, here's the only reason people get comfortable and never change. Sir, he replied, I have no one to help me into the pool The water is stirred while I'm trying. I'm what? I'm trying. But I can't. The reason you get comfortable with sin is because deep down within yourself, you truly believe you can't overcome it. So when you can't overcome it, you must appease the guilt of it by convincing yourself that it's not so bad. How do I appease the guilt of eating this? I convince myself. It's only 100 calories. It's not so bad. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So as we close, this is what happens. People begin to say, I can't. See, there's areas in your life right now that you're saying, I can't. I can't forgive. I can't stop looking at pornography. I can't stop this adulterous affair. I can't stop lying. I can't stop living with them. I can't stop. I can't. How many things in your life right now are you telling yourself, I can't. I can't quit. I can't stop it. I can't. So any area in your life that you're saying, I can't, it's an area where the devil says, get comfortable. Stay here. So Jesus says, take your bed. Why? Because I don't want you comfortable here anymore. And you know what I love about Jesus? When this man said, I tried and I can't. See, all of us have those things, those little Tootsie Rolls that we say, I can't stop. There's a person in your life or a man in your life, you say, I can't get over them. There's a sin in your life, you're like, I just can't. I've settled, Pastor. I'm comfortable with depression. I just dealt with it for years. I've dealt with it and I'm comfortable with my fear and my anxiety. Listen. Whether your anxiety and fear and depression is clinical or emotional, the Lord can still heal. But deep down inside you say, I can't. So I'm just going to be comfortable that this is the way it's going to be. I know it's wrong. I can't stop. You know how many people tell me, I had a guy this week. Not in our church. Don't worry. Don't start looking. Mess up his life and his marriage. And he's talking to me, and the whole time, all he's doing is blaming his spouse. And he's like, well, it was just one escort. It was just one time. So you're going to tell me after 15 years of marriage, I just did it once? And it's over? She's wrong, man, right, David? She's wrong. And I looked at him like, truly, he's a friend of mine. So I said, you're dumb. So if you stop blaming, start owning, you might have saved your family and your marriage. There's so many things we say, I can't. I can't stop this adultery. I can't stop this sexual immorality. I can't stop this drugs and alcohol. I can't stop hurting others. I can't have a perfect marriage. I can't change. I can't have a better family and marriage because I can't be a good spouse. I can't be the husband God wants me to be. I can't be the wife the Word says. I can't. How many things in your life are you telling yourself you can't do? I can't be fully committed to God. I'm too busy. Any area where you say you can will be an area of bondage. What I love about Jesus is that Jesus looks at this man and never disagrees with him. Because you want to know the truth? This man was right. He couldn't change. That's why Jesus showed up, because with Christ, all things are possible. So whatever area you're saying, I can't. You get on your knees and say, Lord, I can't. You know what God says? You're right. You've tried. He said it to Jesus. I've tried. That's the problem. You're trying without him. You're trying without Jesus. So when the devil tells you, you can't, you look at that devil and you say, you're right. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You need Jesus to get you out of this. So Jesus tells him, get up. Why did Jesus not help him up? I'm still trying to figure this out. Said, Jesus, that was kind of mean. Right? Am I right? I mean, he looks at him and the guy's like, whatever. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, I want you to do something you haven't done in 38 years. Get up. And I prayed about this and I said, Lord, why didn't you just reach out and grab him up? Here's why. In Christ, you have the power. But with you, you have the responsibility. In other words, God has given you the authority and the power to do what you can't do on your own. But it's up to you to have the discipline to do it. Stand up for 1 second. This is Isaiah, one of the best personal trainers I've ever had. All right. Awesome. Give him a round of applause. He's awesome. Thank you, Isaiah. I was in the best shape I've ever been with him. He gave me all the resources to look good on stage. He gave me all the resources to be healthy. He said, I'll give you a nutrition plan. Meet me here. I'll provide the equipment. I'll do everything. That's what God says. God says, you have everything. In fact, 2 Peter 1:3, quickly, Peter says to the church, because Peter's straightforward with the church. He says, we have this divine what? Power. You have this divine power has been what? Given to us. We need for life and godliness. God, you know what Peter says here to this church? You have the power and everything you need to live a life of godliness. You have everything you need. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. So Isaiah is my trainer and he says, here's everything. This is all he told me. All you need to do is show up and do what I tell you. I don't like him. During that hour, I hate him. And he always tells me, that's okay. He's used to that. You think it's okay to tell God, I don't like you. This is too hard. And God just says, I've given you everything you need to accomplish your goals. For changing godliness, all you need to do is show up. You have the responsibility to change because you have the power of God in your life. You have everything you need. Let me tell you and eliminate your excuses. You have everything and you have right now, you have everything you need to lead a life of godliness. You have everything you need to have a life of blessing. You have everything you need to raise a godly family, have godly children. You have everything you need. Everything. Look at your church for a second. We have great leaders here that sacrifice their lives and their days to provide you with the resources to godliness. I mean, if you're a new Christian, come to our new believers class. No excuses. If you're a deep Christian, come to our Wednesday night Bible study. We get deep, believe me. We get deep. We have ministries of mine. I said it right now in the announcements. Who wants to volunteer and help Maria out? You have everything you need to say, I want to start serving. There it is. You have everything you need. We have a great men and women's group. Why do we do that? For godliness. It's not so you can just have friends. No, it's so you can have accountability with someone. You have everything you need, from prayer service to Bible study to Sunday morning service to new believers class to volunteering ministries to everything. You can even call a church office and talk to a pastor. Me. And I'll help you. So no one can stand in this church and say, I'm out of options. I can't change. Is this going to be a fun series or what? Let me pray for you guys. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to be bold today, church, as we start this series. If there's an area in your life the Lord has convicted you of right now, if you're saying, Pastor, there's some Tootsie Rolls in my life. I'm doing the right things. I've started coming to church again. I've started to pray. I've started, Lord. But I haven't stopped. Maybe God is looking at you today and He's saying, no more excuses. Stop complaining. Stop blaming. I've given you the power to do what you can't do by yourself. Are you tired of trying and failing? Then why don't you try Jesus? That's all I'm saying. If you're making this declaration today and you're saying, God, I'm standing today. Just say, I'll do what it takes to change. I need to change, Lord. If there's some area in your life you need to change, I want you to stand up to your feet right now. If you're saying, Pastor, I'm standing as an act of surrender to God that I know I can't. And it's okay that you can't. It's okay that you can't. Don't let the devil lie to you that you should be ashamed. You should know better. You got to be honest enough to agree with God. I can't. So you tell God right now what you cannot do. What Tootsie Roll can you not give up? What can't you stop doing? The Lord will not be surprised. The Lord will not be ashamed. And the Lord will not reject. Say, Lord, I can't. So take a moment with the Lord. Lord, I can't. Stop. Fill in the blank. Come on. Fill in the blank, church. Father, help them to be honest with you what they can't do. But with you, Lord, they can do it. They can do it. See, someone needs to hear this today. But when Jesus looked at this man and says, go and sin no more, He was talking about a specific sin. We don't know what it is. But the fact that Jesus said, go and stop doing this, it's an encouraging thing, because Jesus was telling him, you can stop this sin. You can overcome. But you need Jesus. So as we start this series, I think we started off right. We need to stop the excuses, stop complaining, stop blaming. Real change happens when you take ownership of your sin and get aligned with God and say, Lord, with you I can. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for anyone here that's saying right now they can't change, they can't overcome, they can't get over. All of us here have a little sin that we seem to get comfortable with every time. Lord, you love us, but you hate our sin. And I thank you, Lord, that through you, we can do all things. When you told this man to get up, it's because he could get up. So, Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what we cannot do outside of ourselves. So, Father, in Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray for your divine power to help our church to overcome whatever area of sin they have gotten comfortable with. And as we continue with this series, I pray that in the end of it, Father, we would see the change when we've stopped. I pray for transformation and healing. And Father, help us to put this word into practice. We can. Why don't you say that to yourself, church? Say, I can. I can. And fill in the blank. Whatever area you said you can't, now fill it with I can. I can overcome this addiction. I can overcome this sin. Fill in the blank and say, I can with Jesus. I can with Jesus. Father, help us now to put this word into practice in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God a round of applause today. You guys have been blessed.